One final thing. How many of you know that I can be somewhat of a moron? So on my desk this morning here in the church was this paper. It was laid out like this, and I've had a few jokes played on me before. And so this is, it's Pastor Appreciation Sunday or something to that effect. And this is a list of a bunch of pastors here in the tri-state. And I looked, and I looked, and I thought, somebody must put this here because they put my name in. And I looked, and I looked, and I looked. I could not find me. And then I thought, somebody is really funny because they put it on my desk to show me that I'm not in here. And so I just thought, that's really, genuinely, I thought it was hilarious. And I came in and told the worship team, I was like, somebody put this on my desk, and I'm not even in there. That's absolutely hilarious. And then Rob got this funny look on his face, and he said, oh, you're not in there. And then about 10 minutes later, he goes, why don't you go look at that again? So he highlighted it in red, and I haven't told Rob this yet, but I couldn't find it even then when it's highlighted in red, but it's really nice. Thank you, whoever did it and participated. That is very sweet, and I appreciate it, even though I couldn't find it. And since we're talking about marriage, I will go ahead and admit that I fulfill many stereotypical elements of the male. And it's true, I can't find stuff when you tell me where it is. There it is. I knew that would happen. The expression, if it were a snake, it would have bit you, was told to me as a child every day, I think. So, anyway, if you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Welcome to Celebration Church. We're glad that everybody is here. Ephesians chapter 5. Daryl, could you turn off this front light right there? There we go. Does everybody like the PowerPoint? Last week it was a little slow. Is it helpful to go through with the PowerPoint? Okay. I always have to remind myself that I am in that minority category. And that minority category is, I would rather listen to a lecture than anything. That puts me in the minority because there's very few people. If the topic is interesting, I'll sit there and listen for 3 hours. My family was making fun of me because on Netflix, if you look under Doctor Who, there is a special BBC presentation by a scientist on the physics of Doctor Who. And they came home and I was watching it. And it's a guy, and they were all making fun of me. Yeah, if you didn't know and you're a Whovian, you need to go check that out. But anyway, I'm a nerd and I'm boring. So I'm trying to make this, and Jen says this is way better. It's way better than the normal preaching that we're getting from you. This is way better. So anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. Since we're going to talk about a really fun topic, did I lose my screen? I hope not. I did. I'm going to have to reconnect it. Okay, there it is. We are going to talk about trust as the major issue in marriage. In particular, this morning, we are talking about roles and how trust plays a major part in the roles that a husband and a wife have. Specifically, very specifically and very important, I will not be consulting a single textbook outside of the Bible. My whole opinion is entirely and utterly useless if it's different than the Bible. Even my experiences are useless unless I understand them in the light of what Scripture says about those experiences. And that's incredibly important to get in your head before we start. If you're interested in a 21st century modern approach, I am not able to provide it because, if you ask me, we're in a gigantic pile of mess in the 21st century when it comes to relationships anyway. The redefinition of marriage is not a redefinition of marriage. You can't redefine marriage because God defined it. I'm not talking about civics. I'm not talking about constitution. I'm not talking about government. I'm talking about God. In the same sense, the way that people approach relationships is really similar to the way they approach a romantic comedy. And they think that relationships are based off of this super ooey-gooey love thing. And then we've got a million memes on Pinterest and Instagram and Facebook and Twitter that all, you know, if you can't love me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best, and all of that stuff that is out there, which maybe has some elements of truth to it. The real truth that you can put your feet on that will really have a marriage strong is what Scripture says. That is what will make a marriage strong. So this morning, we're going to go into the really fun subject of husbands being the head of the home and wives being submitted to the leadership and the headship of their husband. It is always a popular topic when we talk this way, but I want you to hear what the Bible says. I don't want you to hear what I'm saying. I want you to hear what the Bible says. If you can't verify what I'm saying in Scripture, then what I'm saying is worthless anyway. Everybody with me? Everybody ready to start? Okay. Trust is the issue. Let's read this together. This is Ephesians 5. We're going to read 22 through 33. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Husbands, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. There are three deep themes in Ephesians 5. The first one is Christ's relationship to the church. We talked about this last week, that the real picture, the big picture, is that marriage is a reflection of Christ and his relationship to his bride, the church. Marriage is not the pinnacle, and Jesus and the church are an analogy. Jesus and the church are the pinnacle, and marriage is the analogy. Marriage is the physical representation on planet Earth of what God has done in Christ with the church. In other words, when they see you married and they see you loving your wife, husbands, and wives, you submitting to your husbands, loving your wives, wives submitting to your husbands, when they see that, what they see is a picture of Christ in the church. The other deep theme is husbands and wives. It is a mystery, it says, that the two will become one flesh. And so that theme is in here, and it's also the theme, again, in a deeper sense, that you and I have become one in Christ. Because that's the third thing. It also references relationships within the church. So not just my relationship to Jesus, not just my relationship to my wife, but my relationship to Mikey over here, who is neither Jesus nor my wife. But he and I have a relationship, and the Bible says that in Christ we are one. Have you read that before? And you really, all of that is present in Ephesians 5. We're going to zero in, though, on one major theme today. Of the three themes, details are given on how to live this out. Because it's not, you know, when I say wives submit to your husbands or husbands love your wives, there's 100 different opinions that come up immediately. So we need to go into the detail of what the Scripture is saying. This is really important. We're going to read Galatians chapter 3, 27 through 28. It says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus." Okay. How does that help me? The way to understand what Scripture is teaching us in Ephesians versus what Scripture is teaching us in Galatians is that you as a female and you as a male are equal in Christ. There is no hierarchy of importance. There is no hierarchy of importance. You are equally important. Jesus did not die for me 100% and Jennifer 99%. He died for us equally 100% and brought us into His family equally at 100%, and we are joined in Christ 100%. There's no level here. There's no president, vice president in Christ. But there are definitely different roles. We have an equal value. That's why I got four quarters, and that's why I've got a dollar. It's the same amount of money. It's 100 pennies. It's $1, but they have different functions and different roles. I'm going to use those quarters because I grew up in the 80s. I'm going to use those quarters at the arcade. How many remember? I'm going to use that dollar at the arcade to buy something to drink and to eat because it's the 80s and you could still do that. Right? You could get a candy bar and a pop. How many remember? You can get a candy bar and a pop and you could play four video games, and if you were good, it would take you over an hour to use those four quarters. If you weren't good, you were bumming off your friends. Heaven forbid you were stealing from them. I'm not saying that ever happened. I'm just saying that that's a possibility. Anyway, that's not our sermon this morning. Don't steal. Equal value, different roles. Please don't lose sight of this, that everything we're going to talk about headship and submission, has to be understood that there isn't a difference in value. There's a difference in role. There's a difference in definition that God, He's got different assignments for everybody. That's what we're going to look at. Why is he up there, right? Husbands, you're going to be up first. I used Kevin Bacon because I thought that was a cool picture. Got a lot of great faces of Kevin Bacon. Number one, husbands, love like Christ loved. I'm going to be harder on the guys than I am the girls because I am a guy. And really, what God has placed on men in Ephesians 5 is truly out of your league. There isn't a man on the planet that can do that. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her. Nobody can love like Jesus loved. Can we all agree on that? Nobody can love like He does. But guys, that's what He tells you to do. That's what He tells you to do. I want to tell you to do something you cannot do. I used to believe that God would never do that. God does it all the time. Rejoice without ceasing. You can't. Can you? That's just one. You're desperate for Him on a regular basis to do things that you know you can't do. And then there's this little verse in the Bible that says, I can do all things through Christ, which means I cannot do them in myself. I can do them only through Christ. So husbands, in yourself, determining today to make a quality decision to love your wife will work for 2 weeks. And then she will annoy you in the same way she's always annoyed you, and you're not going to fulfill whatever it is you promised you and her you would fulfill because she annoys you. But if you go to Jesus, you can do this, okay? Look at what He did specifically. Look at what the text says. It says He gave Himself up for her. He gave himself up, guys. He didn't demand a man cave. He didn't demand time with his friends. He didn't demand hunting trips and fishing trips and whatever, insert your thing. He did not demand any of that. Jesus did not look at the church, his people, that were not yet purchased, but he knows those who are his. He did not look at his soon-to-be bride and say, you know what? She's sinful. I don't want her. She's not paying attention. I don't want her. She's rejecting me. I don't want her. In fact, and I wrote it here, he went first. Jesus went first. He didn't wait for the church to be perfect. He forgave while she was in rebellion. The Bible says he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He loved while she hated. They were screaming at him, crucify him, crucify him. And he was there for them. He prayed while the church sneered. People rejected Christ. Everybody's read this, right? In the Bible. You know this is true. He died while she mocked. They made fun of him up on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. This, guys, let this hit you like a ton of bricks, please. It'll be good. This is what you are called to do as a husband, is to love your wife regardless of what she's doing. Period. He loved us while we were in rebellion, while we weren't doing what he wanted. Wives, I'll get to you in a second. Husbands, you love her first. To be the head of the home means you go first. A lot of guys hear the phrase, wives submit to your own husbands, and they're like, yes, finally this sermon. And yet they don't want to hear Jesus died for his bride while his bride hated him. That's the part you don't want to hear, because that means, guys, that you and I as husbands are supposed to go first. You don't let her go first and forgive you first. You go first. This is what being the head of the home looks like. It looks like that sacrifice, forgiving first. Love first. You're not waiting on her. You're not saying, if you do it, then I will do this. If you will finally do the dishes the way I want, then I will do this. If we would start having sex more, then I will do this. If you would, then I will. That is not the way that it works. Husbands, you go first. This theme is going to come up frequently. You pray first. Don't let her be the spiritual leader in your house. Men, this is a travesty. Men are called to lead the home. That means spiritually. That means you are the one that says, let's read the Bible. You are the one that says, I'm praying for the kids. You are the one that says, let's pray over this issue. You're the one. I'm not saying the wives can't pray and can't do that or can't ever initiate. That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying the men as a whole, generally speaking, are supposed to be in the lead this way. You sacrifice first. This is what Jesus did. So if you're called, men, to love her the way Jesus loved his bride, the example of Jesus is this. And there's a giant smattering of amens from all the excited husbands in the room. You should feel this, guys. But you know what? God made you to feel it. There should be something in every man when you hear this that says, you know what, that's right. That is right. That is what I'm supposed to be doing. And there should be something in every wife that says, dear God, let my husband hear that. Because he made us this way. I don't care what your personality is. I am married to a type A personality. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're a go-getter. Doesn't matter if they're a dominant woman. None of that personality is not the issue. The issue is, men, will you step up to the plate and lead your homes spiritually? Will you love your wife when she doesn't deserve it? Guess what? Doesn't matter if she deserves it. Love is not ooey-gooey, sleepless in Seattle, I feel feelings, so I feel like you deserve some romance tonight. That is not what it means. Love means that I understand my commitment and covenant relationship to my wife, and I will do everything to fulfill that to her because I'm honoring Jesus and her when I do that. Number two, guys, it's not over. Love like you love you. I was going to put Terrell Owens in here who said, I love me some me. For those of you that like football, I didn't. But look at what verse 28 says. In the same way, he's referring back to Jesus, the same way that Jesus loved his church. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. There's more than one meaning in here. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. I'm supposed to look at Jennifer with the same care and concern that I take care of my own self. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. I would not take a ball bat and hit myself in the head with it. Neither would I stare in the mirror and criticize myself. Neither would I stare in the mirror and berate myself. Neither would I stare in the mirror and say how disappointed I am. I mean, you might, and you would need some help if you did those things. Seriously. Why would we do that to our wives? There are men that don't know how to talk outside of criticisms. And there are men who don't know how to stand up and be leaders in their home. There's all kinds of men in this room. You're on different ends of the spectrum. But you're supposed to treat your wife the same way you would care for yourself. The word that he used was nourish. The other word that he used was cherish. Nourishment, you know what it is? It's feeding. I'm going to feed, and when we get into the practical stuff, this will make some more practical sense. But I'm supposed to feed Jennifer whatever it is she needs as my wife. I don't mean food. That can definitely be a part reciprocal, though. I mean, but I'm supposed to cherish. I'm supposed to prize her. Honestly, ladies, would it hurt at all if your husband cherished you and nourished you and prized you as much as they do their own self? Would that bother you in the slightest if husbands were acting that way? I don't think that it would. But look here, the last thing I wanted to point out, and it's in verse 28, loving her is loving you. Husbands, when you love your wife this way, you are actually loving yourself because it says love her as you love her, yourself. And then it says, he who loves his wife loves himself. In other words, you are actually taking care of yourself by taking care of her. Does that make it a little more selfish and a little easier to do? Seriously. Listen, the motivation is not that I'm just going to be this empty sack of nothingness and I'm giving everything away. The image is that I'm actually filling the sack of my life with good things by loving her. That's the image. The image is when I take care of my wife, when I nourish her, when I cherish her, when I sacrifice for her, when I do all of that, when I lead and I protect and I pray and I'm actually helping my own self. That is what he is saying here. Number three, when we live this way, husbands, we are living out Genesis 2:24. And this, in Ephesians 5, he quotes Genesis 2:24, which is where we started this series. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound. I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself. There it is again. And let the wife see that she respects her husband. So, husbands, when you love your wife, sacrifice for your wife, lead in the home spiritually. You're nourishing, you're cherishing, you're treating her the exact way that you want to be treated. And you know that God has placed upon you the burden and the responsibility of going first. Guys, you cannot get out of this. It doesn't matter if your wife grew up in church and can quote every Bible verse known to man, and you've been a Christian for 6 months and you know next to nothing, you are still the head of the home. You are still the spiritual leader, even though she's light years ahead of you. Because the responsibility is placed on the husband. Then he can just go to his wife and say, I need some help here. See, it's not like she's off in a corner. You're together. Husbands, this issue is trust. Do you trust Jesus Christ by looking at Him daily to be the man He's commanding us to be? The only way to pull this off is to acknowledge, I cannot do this alone. I must trust in Jesus. Listen, if you're like, oh my gosh, we have to pray every day. Yeah, that's going to be one of the things you're going to have to do. You mean I'm going to have to think about Jesus every day? Yes, unfortunately, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the author and finisher of our faith, the Savior of your soul, the Redeemer of your sin. Yes, you do have to think about Him all the time if you're going to pull this off. Or you can do it your way, which has been working out splendidly, I'm sure. Okay. I couldn't help it. I asked Jen for permission. See, the head of the home, I'm asking for permission. Guys want girlfriends with skills. Bow hunting skills, trap making skills, apocalyptic death match survival skills. I had to put that in. Napoleon Dynamite. Okay. Wives, it is your turn. I'm considerably more nervous to talk to you, okay? That's why I put Katniss in there. Let's look at the scripture. Verse 22 says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Jen got up with me early this morning. I was putting the PowerPoint together and we were talking, and I'm really using her as a sounding board. And I said, do you really want to know what the word submit means? It means to be subordinate. It means to be under authority, and it means to be under obedience. She's like, well, that's what it means. That's what we need to hear. So that's what the word submit means. It means, again, not less equal. It means different role. It means God put that burden on the man to be the leader. He put the burden on you, and maybe that's not the right word, but He put that on the female to support the husband as the head of the home and to submit to his leadership and authority in the home. That is what it says, to submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, which again is impossible, ladies. Because if you haven't noticed, your husband is nothing like Jesus. This first thing I want you to see, though, is your own husband, not every man. I pity the man that tries to get Jennifer to submit to him. It's not every man. Women, you should never feel that you are inferior to men. I don't believe that this role thing translates into the workforce. I have no problem having a female boss. I have no problem having female senators. No problem having a female president, if it's the right one. I have no problems with that whatsoever. It's in the home that this is the issue. That's what's being discussed here. So, ladies and men, please do not walk around, I'm superior to women, because you're not. Okay? This is the roles in the home. giving thanks always, and let me, if you scoot back up to Ephesians 5, 20 and 21, this is what it says. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is what we are supposed to be doing. So verse 21 then goes right into verse 22, wives submit to your husbands. So you see, 21 goes right into wives submit. So he just told us everybody submits to everybody else out of love and out of reverence for Christ, out of the fear of God. I don't consider myself better than you. You should not be doing that. However, in the home, the role is established, wives submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. So, got that established. We're not talking about every man, we're talking about your husband. So what are we saying more specifically? As. It's a little word. It's got a big, important meaning. As implies in the same way. So in the same way that the church is submitted to Christ, the wife is submitted to her husband. You look at that and you realize that Jesus is in charge and He's leading. And you realize that the church is following the direction of Jesus. And that is a perfect scenario, because guess how many times Jesus is wrong? Zero. So submitting as the church to Christ is perfect because He's perfect. As also implies that there is no way your husband can be as perfect as Christ. That's why the word as is used. It means that it's like it, it's not exactly like it. Which is why you need to keep Christ in mind, ladies. This, Jen and I have had really good talks this week about this. I really feel like God spoke to her. It was really cool. So, ladies, you must keep Jesus in mind when you submit to your husband. Let me be more specific on that. Well, I'm going to be more specific in a second. Before I jump ahead, you are supposed to look past your husband to Jesus standing behind him and realize Jesus assigned him the role as the head of the home. So you are submitting to your husband. You're ultimately submitting to Jesus by submitting to your husband. We're going to come back to that. I just wanted to say it here. Anybody recognize that movie? It's also got Kevin Bacon in it, if you didn't recognize that. We have a problem. Some of you have thought of this immediately and some of you haven't. What about unsaved husbands or nominal Christian husbands? Nominal means Christian in name only. The church is unfortunately filled with people, not just men, women too. But the church is filled in America in particular with people who name Christ as Lord, but there is very little evidence of that in their daily life. What do you do, women, if you are married to a pretending Christian or if you're married to a non-Christian? This is a big issue. And the Bible actually directly addresses it. 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 through 6 says, Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands. So it's the same exact thing that Peter is saying, the same thing Paul did. But now look at where Peter goes. Totally different direction. God knows that we need this information. So that even if some do not obey the word, I'm going to lump two categories in there. I'm going to lump men who do not believe in Jesus at all, and I'm going to lump men who kind of act like they believe in Jesus, but they're not in obedience to the word of God. Does that make sense? Everybody following me? So one of those two types of men. So that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. I will not say that I find that easy. I will admit to you that this scripture is tough, but I will also admit that the scripture is true. Be subject to your own husband. Be in submission to your husband, even if he's a pretending fake Christian, even if he is a heathen unbeliever. Be submissive to your husband, and here's why. They may be won without a single word by the conduct of their wives. That's actually very powerful, that God could work and does work through women who say in their heart, this is hard. So God gives big, giant chunks of grace for you ladies that are in this scenario right now. And I don't know who is. I don't know who you know that is. But when you're in this scenario, God brings grace so that you can submit to Him in a way that is honoring to Christ. And don't say, I'm only submitting to you because the pastor used this verse. Otherwise, that's not really, obviously, that is not a submissive heart at all. But instead, it says, without a word, by the conduct of their wives, they may be won. I want to tell you a spiritual story. Is that all right? My dad, about 30 years ago, was in a Bible study, and he was reading out of the Bible. He was not reading this verse, and right in the middle of it, he said, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And he looked over at a woman that was sitting there, and he didn't know much about her situation. He knew that she was married to a non-believer. And he looked right at her, and he said it was like God just dropped this in him, and he shared it with her. We believe God can do that. And he looked right at her, and he said, because you have been a 1 Peter chapter 3 wife, your husband will be saved. And he was. It's a couple months later. Now that, you don't go telling people that unless God does that to your heart to do so. But this verse lets us know, ladies, that submission to your husband is ultimately about trusting God, not ultimately about trusting your husband. Not that trust isn't important, because it is, and we'll talk about that more. There's more here. When they see your respectful and pure conduct, that's how it happens. Do not let your adorning be external. Some translations insert the word merely external. We know you have to wear clothes. You should wear clothes. You should wear clothes that are modest and tasteful, not clothes that are revealing and all of that. And that goes for men and women. That is not just a woman thing. That is a man and woman thing. But don't let your adorning be merely external or external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear. In other words, we're not just going to zero in on how you look. This was 2,000 years ago. Do we still have a problem with overindulgence of image? Selfie sticks, maybe, for the whole church? Do we have an issue with image? Oh my gosh, has there ever been a generation that has a more self-obsessed obsession with image? I don't know. Let your adorning, verse 4, be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. Jennifer is going to maybe share something of these verses, but I'm going to go ahead and read them. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children if you do good, and do not fear anything that is frightening. Do not be put off by the expression calling him Lord. I do not think women should call their husbands Lord. That is a cultural context that simply meant that she was respecting her husband, and she would do it in public. And she would respect him by calling him that. That is what that means. That is not a call for you to refer to your husband as Lord, no matter how much men may want to hear that. That's not what that's saying. How to submit to an imperfect man. I think that's Elizabeth Taylor. We're not sure. Look over the shoulder of your imperfect husband and see Jesus behind him. see the role that God has assigned him and trust that God will work with and on your husband. Ladies, I think what submission looks like is the recognition that your husband is not perfect, and yet God has called you to submit to his leadership. And so how can you do that when you see the flaws on a regular basis? Now, when he's loving you like Christ loved the church, I think it's certainly easier to submit to a husband that is loving you and cherishing you and nourishing you. It is considerably harder when he's not doing those things. But it doesn't matter if he's doing those things or not. The wife has been called to submit to her husband. That's why we looked at the 1 Peter chapter 3 reference. But here's, ladies, I think the secret, it's the same secret for the guys. You have to look to Jesus to make this work. You have to look over the shoulder of the imperfect man that you're married to and say, I'm going to trust that Jesus is at work on my husband. And in fact, that would be a great place to pray, because the husband needs it. There she is. I am going to have Jennifer come up and share something, because I figured it would be helpful to hear from an actual real live woman on this subject. Babe, help me.
Okay, so I may get emotional. Submission was very hard for me when we got married. I grew up just kind of afraid of men and felt that no guy would ever tell me what to do. I am a very strong-willed woman. So literally in our vows, when I had to say that our pastor was reading that scripture about submitting, I laughed like, yeah, right. I mean, it's on video. I laughed at the word submit. And I remember his hands getting clammy. But I have since learned that to submit to your husband is to trust him, but to trust Jesus above all. And that picture that is super old of, we do think that was Elizabeth Taylor. If you notice, she's not just looking at Jesus, but she's still loving her man. Because our husbands are imperfect. And that's okay. They need to know that when they fail, it's okay. And that we're there to love them. Because they're human too. So submitting to my husband has become much easier, knowing that it's trusting in Jesus. And I submit to him because I love him. And because I want to be a biblical wife. He doesn't lord over me, and I've seen that in my own life growing up. I saw it a lot. And men, especially today, they hear the word submit. And it's wrong, and it's sad to me that they've grown up feeling that they need to lord over somebody. It's very wrong. But the true definition of submission is so beautiful, and they're there to protect us. And every woman can honestly say, I want to feel protected. I want to feel protected when I wake up and when I go to bed. So for us, it was several years ago. I'll share real quick. He came home, and out of nowhere, the Lord really put on my heart, you need to submit to your husband. And I remember fighting with that. And I told him, I said, babe, I'm going to trust you with any decision. And if you mess up, it's on you. And I said, and if it's right, hallelujah. But I also told him, I said, but if you do mess up, I promise you, I will not mock you. I will be with you, because we are a team. And we have come a long way with this, because I was so strong-willed and such a strong head. Last, I want to close with this part of submission. If you read in the Bible where it was Sarai and Abram, they were waiting for this baby for so long, and she was grieving and hurting. She wanted a baby, and I can only imagine her nagging her husband, you know, because she's hurting, she wants this baby. So what happened when he finally gave in to the nagging, where she obviously respected him because she called him Lord, but then there came a moment Or maybe she took her eyes off of the Lord and kept nagging him. And then Ishmael was born. So women, our role is to trust in Jesus, look over his shoulder, and trust in a God that is so loving, and go to him for your imperfect husband. And even when they mess up, I love you. And you will be there for your husband, and you will love them. So submission to me, I have learned, is trust. It's not submit. I trust you. I will submit to you because I trust in the Lord of our marriage, and I trust in you as my husband. And that has been years, but if you know what that's like to feel men ruling over you, that's a wrong idea. And I pray that you can see the truth of submission, because it's truly a beautiful thing. And at any time, any of you women ever want to talk to me, I will love on you and pray with you. So that's what I see.
Give her a hand.
And guys, I will tell you that never in my life did I feel what being the head of the home meant until the day she looked at me and said, I'm going to trust you. And if you're wrong, God will deal with you. And I will tell you, as heavy as, I mean, it was like somebody tossed me a 50-pound bag. You know, you whoa. But then you realize, this is what I should have been holding the whole time. And that responsibility that I'm being held accountable by God and now by my wife, who is submitted, and saying, this is my opinion and you've heard it. See, we don't squash opinions. That's not what this is. It's you share the responsibility is ultimately the man's to decide. That is that's what being the head of the home means. When that hit me so hard that day, I will never forget it. I can point right on the floor where I was standing when she said it. Because it's true. I used the illustration last week, and I will use it again. If Jennifer and I were in trouble with Jesus, and he came to our house and knocked on the door, this is an illustration that I heard from John Piper. It was my favorite one. He knocks on the door, and Jennifer answers. He would say, Jennifer, I want to speak to you in a little bit. Where's the head of the home? That's what we're talking about. He's going to come chew me out, so to speak, first. Not that she's not involved, she is. It's just I get the whooping first and probably most severely. Praise the Lord. Okay. I see a big opportunity for amens right there. Wives, the issue is trusting Jesus first. Jen said it beautifully, much better than I can. As you respect your husband's leadership role, the issue for you is trust. Men, the issue for you is trust. Do you trust that God will help you be the man you're supposed to be to lead your home? Women, do you trust that God will help your man be the man he's supposed to be to lead your home? Those are the issues. So, I think we're done. We are done. Let's all stand up. Jen, would you come up with me? I know it's a sensitive topic. Like, where'd she go? Because our culture makes it sensitive, because our culture doesn't believe 95% of what we just talked about. But if you want your marriage to be strong and stable and standing on a rock, I think this is what we follow, is what the Scripture says, which means a lot of men in here have to step up, and a lot of women probably want to see it happen. What I want to do is I want to pray over marriages, and I just want to pray over the men. And I'm going to have Jen pray over the ladies before we go. And I appreciate you rolling with our past 12 o'clock sermon. So I'm not going to keep talking. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And I pray right now for all the men that are here. God, I pray that this does land on us heavy. Not heavy in a burdensome way that we can't carry it, but heavy in a way that lets us know you made us to carry this. You want us to lead spiritually and get rid of all the excuses. So God, I pray that you would just kill every excuse in every man's heart and mind. That you would expose us where we're weak. You will expose us where we're cowardly. You will expose us where we're afraid to be the head of the home because we don't want to be responsible. God, I pray you would expose that and then show us in your love that you have grace for us to live and lead and be the head of the home like we're supposed to be. And God, I pray that every man in here would be filled with hope, Lord, for a future where they lead, following you and leading their family and who knows where adventures with you in the Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that you would do that in every heart of every man, in Jesus' name.
Father, I lift up every woman to you, every wife and every woman looking for the right man. God, I thank you that you have given them a heart after you, and it is such a beautiful role that you've given us to be, to help our husband, to be beside him. I pray that their marriages are truly strengthened. Lord, I pray that you give them wisdom beyond their years and that they can pray for their husband, that they can truly embrace him and look to you, Lord, for all the answers and trust in you and to learn what and how you would have submission in our marriage. God, I pray that every woman wants to adorn herself for her man's eyes and his only. That she would want to clothe herself for him, that she wouldn't want to show herself for the world, but it's all for him. It's the beauty and the majesty of her body for her husband. And I pray, God, that you would bring back the importance of that between a husband and a wife and how beautiful that is. I pray that she is strengthened as she looks to him to lead the home. I pray, Lord, that she feels protected every day as he goes as the way you have him to go and that their steps are ordered by you. We give you honor. I thank you that you are an all-merciful God. We thank you for your grace that sustains us day after day. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. You are officially dismissed. Hug your spouse. It's probably a good idea.